Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the struggle against sin and against death and against Satan is real. There are many casualties. Often the wounded and their wounds are invisible to us. They are wounds of the spirit, wounds of the soul hunted by Satan with his arrows aimed at them and at us again and again. Saint John, here in the book of Revelation, was given a vision in which he saw an uncountable number of people gathered. These people were wearing white robes. Who are they and where did they come from? We're given the answer. They came out of the great tribulation. We can understand tribulation as intense pressure, the kind that crushes. You can compare it to sinking into the depths of the ocean. Right now, your body has about 15 pounds of pressure on every inch of it here in our normal atmosphere. You go 1 mile deep in the ocean, and the pressure goes to over 1 ton, over 2,000 pounds per inch of your whole body. That is intense pressure, and we cannot survive it. Tribulation is intense pressure. The people John sees in his vision came out of the intense pressure of living as one of God's children here in this world where there is struggle, where there is sorrow and suffering on account of confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior. But John doesn't see that struggle reflected in these people. What he sees is a great crowd of people filled with praise for God. They were crying out with loud voices, surrounded by angels, standing before God at the throne in heaven, and saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Those who had come through that tribulation assembled to praise God, to honor him, to thank him. Their time of intense pressure was over. They are free. They are saved. But that great multitude in heaven did not arrive there by virtue of their own worthiness, their own goodness, their own purity. No, they're there because of the purity, the cleanliness, and power of another. Isaiah, the great prophet of the 8th century BC, described the condition of all humanity, our spiritual status, our worthiness, our righteousness. He described it this way: "We are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Filthy rags are what we have on our own. They cannot be scrubbed clean by us. In fact, most likely, our attempts to make clean our own filthiness will result in finding more dirt, more stains, more rubbish. We cannot bleach ourselves into the white robes of righteousness. Well, how does it happen then? How and what and who brings about the fact of being able to stand before God and the Lamb in purity? Well, again, Isaiah described it this way: I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And John, in this wonderful vision before us, put it this way: these are the ones who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's lots of blood in the Bible. There are literally hundreds of references to blood throughout both the Old and New Testaments. Perhaps the most striking use of blood is at the Passover, as we learn of it in the book of Exodus. There we hear how God delivered his chosen people out of their slavery, their bondage in Egypt, by bringing defeat to their enemies and victory to them. The firstborn of all Egypt would die in that one night when the angel of death would pass over the whole land to bring that death. However, where there was blood, the angel would have no death. There would be safety. But it was not just any blood. It had to be the blood of the male lamb sacrificed that evening, and its blood painted on the doorway. Blood, the death of that lamb, brought salvation and protection to the children of Israel. Now we go forward 1,500 years. Jesus is walking along the Jordan River. John the Baptizer sees him, and then he says, "Behold," what? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb. He is the one who is there beside his Father at the throne in heaven, receiving the praises of those who are singing there. He's the one by whom the robes are made white. His blood, as odd as it sounds, is the ultimate stain remover. It cleanses, purifies, so no spot, no remnant of sin remains. That is the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God, who became man for us to shed his blood so that our filth would be washed away. You receive the purity, the cleansing, the white robe of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. In holy baptism, you are washed in that water in which faith sees the blood of Jesus, which frees us and gives us eternal life. In the Lord's Supper, you receive the blood of Jesus, and we're told why: given and shed for you for the remission of sins. The struggle against sin, against death, and against Satan is real. There are many casualties, but the victory over these enemies is accomplished. The tribulation, that intense pressure through which we go now, will end as we join the multitudes gathered around God and the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That salvation is yours here and now through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust his word. Believe that through his blood, your own robes, no matter what filth may spatter them, are pure and clean and righteous before God himself. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.